ask him to restate them.
Okay, sir, we do apologize. We missed our cue to turn on the recorder. We do have a backup. We did capture that on backup, but we wanted to get on the primary. So again, can you state your name and ADC number again?
Well, Jeffrey Eugene Wright, 086761.
And I'll condense this, but I'll ask you again, we established that you signed your form that notified you of your rights. Am I correct that
yes, sir.
You're representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Again, I will introduce you to the members of the board, but I'll do it a bit quicker, and that is we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and again, my name is Louis Quinones. I'm serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Westby. Now, Mr. Wright and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And just in case, because I recognize that this is a home arrest hearing, is there anyone in the hearing room that is here on behalf of Mr. Wright?
Okay. Is anyone in the room?
No, there's nobody in the room. I just wanted to make sure, because if there's someone speaking on your behalf, this would be an opportunity to swear them in also. Okay, sir?
No.
Okay. So, Mr. Wright, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Now, I recognize that the last time that you were before this board, it was a different type of hearing. This is a revocation hearing. But you are reminded that there is a separate vote between phase one and phase two to pass from one to the other. So if we get to that point, and we pass to phase two, do not be alarmed by that vote. Now, when I read the allegations to you, Mr. Wright, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I will now read, or I'll begin phase one, by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal ways of the company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition 14A is demonstrated by a failure to charge the tracking device in an electrical outlet for at least 2 hours each day. You are responsible for ensuring that the tracking device remains charged on or about April 24, 2018. Mr. Wright, is this true or false?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. And allegation number two, violation of condition 14, as demonstrated by your failure to plug the tracking device into an electrical outlet immediately if the tracking device vibrates and the power LED flashes red on or about April 24, 2018. Mr. Wright, is this true or false?
True, sir.
Thank you. Based on Mr. Wright's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay.
Just 1 second for the paperwork. And that was the motion by me, Louis Quinones, seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson, our acting board chairman, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, back to you, Mr. Wright. We're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision will be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Westby.
March 6, 2018, Mr. Wright was released from prison under Department of Corrections. He was arrested April 25, 2018 by ADC staff. There are no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on April 25, 2018 with a projected CCD of January 1st, 2016. He's under lifetime supervision. There are zero absconding. Current conviction, 1991. Armed robbery, two counts, life. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 4-1. Mental health score 1. Substance abuse score has not been calculated. There is no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. He has no disciplinary violations. Other arrest, 1984, theft, Virginia, felony conviction, state prison. 1986, forgery, credit cards, Virginia, felony conviction, state prison. 1987, robbery, Virginia, felony conviction, state prison. 1987, forgery, credit cards, Virginia, felony conviction, state prison. 1987, fraudulent use of a credit card, Virginia, felony conviction, state prison. 1990, failure to appear first degree, Virginia, disposition unknown. His community risk score is a G1, B1.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Wright. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to reside at Reborn Assistance, located at 2546 West Orangewood Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. No other residence was approved. Mr. Wright, was this the only place that you lived while you were on home arrest status?
So again, I couldn't hear that. I'm not as hard as you just said.
Is this the only place that you lived when you were on home arrest?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Employment notes. It looks like that you found work at Southwest Forest Products, located at 35th Avenue and Lower Buckeye Road. Is this the only place you worked when you were on
home arrest? Okay. Yes, sir. That's where I worked at.
And how was that working out for you, sir?
Excuse me, say it again.
How was that working out for you?
Oh, fine. I mean, the job is wonderful. You know, I was able to make it there on time to get back on time to sign in when I sign off. So it's wonderful.
There are some programming notes. That
yes, I go to program every Tuesday. I was in the seven steps or the 12 steps that I was supposed to take. I was in under step 7. Yes, good. I'm doing it. You have to do homework and attend the classes. I've been there to classes.
Okay, sir. Yeah, what I was going to say is you were also assigned to task for drug screening with a color ivory. You have a testing history in March 9 of 2018. You had a negative normal. On April 23rd, 2018, you had a negative, which we commend you for. So it would seem, and I hope this to be true, that you were staying clean when you were on home arrest?
Yes, yes, sir. Every day. They UA'd me when I first got there, breathalyzed me too, and I was still staying here.
And I think you just spoke of this. You were enrolled in the Smart Recovery Program, and I believe that that's where you said you were at Step 7?
Yes, yes, sir.
And how are you enjoying that?
Well, it's wonderful because, you know, you're always there with some guys that didn't worse of pain for you, and have some younger guys that you can set an example and show that, you know, you can do things. You know, all you got to do is put your mind to it and be willing to do what's asked of you. So that's good.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Well, we have the two allegations, and they're very specific. So this raises some important questions, and that is, with so much at stake, with your freedom at stake on home arrest status after having been in the corrections, or at least in prison, you certainly still part of the correction system, but having been in prison for what looks like about 27 years, is that right, sir?
Yes, sir, 27 years.
What happened? Because the rules of home arrest are very strict, and it's pretty obvious that the parole officers really monitor those tracking devices and the rules associated with it, as far as keeping it charged and responding to your warnings. So what was the problem, Mr. Wright?
And yes, sir, and I've been waiting to explain it. The day that I got from work on that Monday, because it went off Tuesday. I got off work at 5:56. I was supposed to sign it at 6 o'clock. When I got off work, my color code was up on the chart to go take a UA. And I usually go to the one on Indian School Road, but it closed at 5, so I had to go to the one that's at 67th in Glendale. So I got out there at 7:40, I cleaned UA, you see it's on the thing, I cleaned, I got back, and I still hadn't ate and took a shower, and that's where the problem came. When I took a shower and I ate, I laid down and forget to charge it. That's where the problem did. I went to work the next day and didn't have it in my bag, because I work before Forest Park and it's nowhere there other than going back to the office to charge it. And he called me on my job and asked me, "So you got to charge it with you?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, I gave the phone to my supervisor so he could talk to him, and then he told me to release myself and go back to work. I mean, go back to Reborn and charge it." And he called when I was there. I said, "I was charged," and he said, "Report the next day to the TO's office," and I reported. Yes, and like I tell them all the time, I say, "Man, I've done everything that's asking me, and I'm always aware of what wrong and right is." And then that's why I told him, I said, "Well, I showed you that I was at work, and then just knowing that I forgot to charge it up," I said, "but it's fixable." I said, "Man, all I need is a chance to show y'all that this never happens again, you know, because I've made a little chart where I've been sitting here to mark down the time I put it on and make sure it's 5 minutes after the 2 hours that I charge it."
There's a note in your warrant, and I think it's a cause for concern. It says on April 24, 2018, at approximately 2:04 p.m. parole supervisor Fleshman contacted management staff at the inmate's employer to advise the inmate that his GPS was dead and he needed to charge his device immediately. Management staff advised parole supervisor Fleshman that they would inform the inmate to charge his device immediately and contact parole staff. The inmate contacted senior parole officer Coretta. When questioned as to why the inmate had not charged his device for the required 2 hours on April 23, 2018, the inmate informed SPO Coretta that it was because he did not have time. So, this goes back to why, I'm trying to be as fair and pleasant about this as possible, but maintaining your monitor is very, very important. And I also bring this up because we recognize that your parole officers are not, let me find better words for that. They're invested in your success. They want to see you succeed in the community and do well. And we have found that they're not very quick to violate people. They tend to have some flexibility and be willing to work with the inmates if the inmates are willing to put the effort into it. And I have some concerns that they violated you. It seemed that there was a pattern of not charging your device, or maybe in at least in their assessment, being dismissive of charging your device. So this is putting this in a pretty awkward position, Mr. Wright, because we do want to see you succeed. But the rules of release are very, very strict. So
the phone is going off.
Can you hear me?
The phone. Yeah, hold on the phone. Off. Hello?
Yes. Is there a problem?
No, he said the phone was cutting off. I just wanted to make sure we didn't lose one of it.
Okay. Am I cutting out right now based on what you're hearing?
Yeah, I can hear you. Oh.
Okay.
Okay, sir.
And Mr. White, I just want to make sure here too, because I didn't ask this earlier on, but is this parole officer rule? Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have anything. At this point, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, Mr. Wright.
I do.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, why didn't you charge that at night when you were at home? Why didn't you charge it at night?
And sir, this is what I said, because like I told you, it was so late, but, and this is why I told my people, I said, man, look, I got on March the 6th, and you can see the pattern from March the 6th all the way to the 23rd. I charged it every day on time like it's supposed to be. It was just because I came from work that late and went to UA at that time, and getting home, getting back to Reborn and shower and take a what's called, I just plain forgot. But like I said, it was 6th because you see from March 6th when I got out, I'm charging all that time. It never was short. It never was. I made sure that every time that I plugged it in, it was just that day that I had to rush when I get off work and then rush and go take the UA and come back. That's where the misclassification came because I fell asleep. But you know, like I said, man, I can always fix this. It's nothing that they've asked me to do since I've been seeing it in 2016 that I haven't done. You know, and then like I said, I know we need this in the really depth of having this monitor on, and I tell myself every day that I still watch this. I say, man, I can fix this. Just give me a chance to show y'all I can fix this.
Okay, so I'm looking at a report from April 16th through April 22nd, and at no point in that time did you charge it for 2 hours.
Yeah, and see, that's where the miscalculation would come from, because I'm thinking when I hear the monitor plugged in, I'm thinking when it bugs, it's charged all the way up. But they said, no, even when it bugs, like that, you got to time yourself. So say, if you put it in at 5:30, take it out at 7:30. That's where the miscalculation was. But you see, on the way way before that, I was charging it all the way up because I wasn't working then. So now I know that 2 hours is 2 hours. If you put it in at 6:30 when I get off, make sure it stays in at 8:35. That's where the miscalculation when I started working. See, because the days before that, March 6th, all the way to the 17th, I wasn't working. So I could set in there and let it stay on the whole time and let it charge all the way up. When I started working, I'm thinking once it broke my leg, that it charged all the way up. But they said, no, you got to let it charge 2 hours. So that's where the miscalculation come from, sir. But I can fix it. This, I mean, like y'all said, I've done everything y'all asked me to do. Just let me show y'all that this can be fixed. I can charge this thing 2 hours and 5 minutes every day, even while working.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from the board members? Okay, Mr. Wright, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel you need to share?
Yeah, just give me a chance. All I ask, man, is give me a chance to show y'all that I done better myself. This little problem, I know it's a big issue, but I can fix it. Just give me a chance. That's all I'm asking.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wright. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if we'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is... this type of hearing is a little bit tough in as much that I recognize that Mr. Wright arrived at a certain place in his rehabilitation for him to earn home arrest. I will say that I'm pleased that we're not here because of drug or alcohol issues or some sort of new crime, certainly. I mean, we know how disturbing it is for someone to be given this opportunity and to get involved in some sort of major crime. And we're here for something very specific to his conditions of release. The problem is that adhering to the
conditions surrounding the ankle monitor are very, very serious, and I don't think we would be here right now if his parole staff didn't have some concerns about whether or not he was suitable for release. So right now I'm not very comfortable because I know how much effort the parole officers put into this. But that's where I'll begin the discussion. That's how I'm looking at it.
Can I ask Mr. Westby, sir, are there something in the notes of that, them talking to him prior, or is this just the first time they talked to him about it? Because I'm not sure if it's, if they're saying that this time it happened, and then when they checked and they found out that there's been a period of time when it's been happening.
I know that there's a note on here that's, that when he had this initially hooked up, that they went through and they explained in detail about the charging and that note here. As far as his, he had his device on, it was inspected. They went through him about the itinerary and about charging the device. That was in February 9th. Wait, that was, I take that back. That was in March 16th. And it looks like as far as any staffings here, I'm not seeing any notes that there was any staffings for waiting on here. No, that was April 24th, which was the day of the violation, when he was told to come into the office, and he was supposed to come straight in. He did not come in, and so basically he was out of, his whereabouts were unknown. He didn't get into the office until after 5:30, but I don't see any staffing notes.
Was he having any other problems, or was that it, just...
It looks like he had once where he had a curfew violation. Where was that at? Let's go through there. He left his 3M reported curfew. This was on March 16th. Reported curfew violation, 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. GPS points were reviewed. Offender was approved to leave the residence at 8 a.m. to go shopping. Offender went to correct the location but left too early. PO will address violation with the offender. So it looks like that would have been addressed by PO Berg the following, when, which was actually that day. But once again, as far as any discussion specifically about charging his device, I'm not seeing anything on that. It was, it looks like it was mainly an itinerary violation that he had there.
Okay, thank you.
Cell number is 602-448-2000. 1993.
04-8-1993. Okay, Mr. Wright?
Yes, sir.
Sir, don't hang up. Hold on a minute. I'm going to see if we can get a hold to your appeal.
Okay.
Executive Committee. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you guys?
We're doing good, good. We're actually conducting the home arrest revocation hearing for Mr. Wright, and Mr. Quinones is conducting the hearing, and we wanted to contact you to get some input from you reference this hearing.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, Officer Van Gundy, can you hear me clearly?
Oh, hold on. Hold on one minute. Hold on a minute. Mr. Wright?
Yes, sir.
You still
there?
Officer Van Gundy?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, again, Officer Van Gundy, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Now, I do need to swear you in for the sake of revocation testimony. Officer Van Gundy, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm? Can you state your full name again, sir?
Cole Officer Brett Van Gundy.
Okay, sir. We're in the discussion phase of this hearing. We've already had our interview phase with Mr. Wright. We've gathered about as much information as we can. Certainly, we've scoured the warrant. I think it's worth following up before we move forward. It's been my experience, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. It's been my experience that our parole officers are not, for the lack of a better expression, trigger happy when it comes to writing warrants of arrest. And what can you tell us about how Mr. Wright was developing under home arrest status?
To be honest with the board, I was only Mr. Wright's parole officer for about a month. He was transferred to my caseload when another officer went on leave, and so I did not have very much interaction with Mr. Wright other than a couple of times. So from what I remember, he failed to charge his device and he was untrackable for hours. I don't have a whole lot to say about him other than facts, because like I said, I did not have a lot of interaction with him.
Do you have much in the way of discretion as to whether or not you're going to violate an individual once they've had a tracking violation?
Everything is staffed with a supervisor, sir.
Okay. And again, please understand that sometimes it's hard to find the right words. I'm not trying to back into a corner.
No, absolutely. I totally understand, sir.
And we're just trying to make an effective decision here. And again, I'm going to ask...
That's absolutely understandable.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Officer Van Gundy, I understand that. So it looks like this was the first time that he was actually counseled when he received the device, but this was the first time that he was actually counseled or had contact about a violation with the charging device?
I would have to go. I don't have it up in front of me. If you give me just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay.
Was it you that contacted his employer and he was at work when the charging device wasn't working? When this...
I believe that was actually the individual that actually contacted the work first would be parole supervisor Fleischman.
Okay. All right. But he was at work when he was contacted?
Yes.
Okay.
And after we reviewed his points, he had not been charging the device as his conditions indicate for him to do so.
Okay. So I know that was at about a four-hour period or something that the device went dead and he was untraceable. But there's a period of time where he wasn't charging his device the right amount of time. Is there any indication that he was at any locations that he wasn't supposed to be during the period of time that he didn't fully charge the device?
Well, unfortunately, that's the problem, sir, because we don't know. He could have been anywhere between those 4 hours. Because of the fact that he's actually an inmate on inmate status, that's the severity of it, is because he was out and about and with no idea where he was.
Okay. So, but other than those 4 hours, is there any indication that he was anywhere he was supposed to be according to the tracker? I mean, there's a period of days where he didn't fully charge the tracking device.
That's correct. As far as I know, sir, no, there's no indication that would say he was anywhere else. But again, for those 4 hours, we have no idea where he was.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other questions from board members to Mr. Barney, Officer Van Gundy? Okay. Officer Van Gundy, do you want to stay on the phone, or if you have other things going on, we certainly understand. We can end the call with you right now. It's your choice.
I can stay on if the board needs me to, sir.
Again, that's purely at your own discretion.
Okay, well, then I will get back to work then.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Yep. Anytime. Have a good day.
You too, sir. Thank you. Okay, we are in discussion, or we continue the discussion, and I'm opening this up if fellow board members will be seeing this through a different filter, but I think Officer Van Gundy stated the words that I was having trouble finding earlier, which is the reason why this is so severe is because he is an inmate of the Department of Corrections, and I know that. But sometimes it gets away from me because I tend to think of it as more of a general parole, and it's not. He is an inmate of the Department of Corrections, and his tracking, his maintaining his ankle monitor is of the utmost seriousness, and it sounds like that this was an ongoing problem for Mr. Wright. So as I was saying before, I haven't really changed my position. It was more intuitive before, now it's a bit more solid that I am not finding him suitable for community corrections or community supervision at this point, but I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I'm just having a little bit of an issue because he did sign, although this is the first time that he was counseled, about it and not charging the device. It was because of this one incident that they went back and checked and saw that the device wasn't being checked. So it wasn't counseled. Usually when someone's not counseled, they give the opportunity. But to my knowledge, this is the first time that we actually come to one where he just actually didn't charge it and it went totally dead for 4 hours and we don't know what he was doing during that period of time, that's what's the problem to me. The problem is that 4 hour period of time they didn't know exactly where he was at or what he was doing, and that's the problem. I do think that I do have some concern that he wasn't counseled. This is the first counseling session other than when he was originally counseled about it, but he had been going all these days without actually charging it. But he said he thought when the light came on or the buzzer went off that he thought it was charged up for 2 hours, but it wasn't charged up for 2 hours. But I'm just not able to come to a justification for the 4 hour period that we have no idea what he was doing during that 4-hour period. And although I do have, when they contacted his job, he was at his job. Yeah. He was at his job. There's been there's been no times when he's been at a location that he shouldn't have been at. But I'm telling you, I'm just, that 4-hour period of time bothers me. I just don't know. Mr. Inhouse, you may have a better...
Well, I don't know. This is why this is difficult, because you bring up, he's still an inmate, which means for 4 hours, an inmate was, you know, wandering around. Now, probably was doing nothing. But the point is, he's supposed to be monitored. But at the same time, if he's never been counseled before, it's a little severe to bring somebody in when you've never been counseled before. And it doesn't appear, the record doesn't really show that he was counseled before. Yeah, zero. So it's a little severe.
I was going to say, and let me state for the record, too, that I'm either looking for the clear...
There's no
direction to move in, because I'm going to speak as one board member, and maybe that's the beauty of the open meeting laws, of just sometimes having this deliberation. I'm looking for a second chance. I'm looking to the second chance, but I'm not seeing that clear path. And I think that our colleague, Mr. Johnson, is speaking from a different angle, but coming in, he's in the same direction. I think you both are, and that is, we're looking for, is this worthy of that severe position that he's being violated? We have the business of him being inmate of the Department of Corrections, very serious. He just don't disappear from inside the prison for 4 hours.
Right.
But then we have an individual who's working, who certainly earned the opportunity for home arrest, and there's that counseling piece. Like this, did we go straight to violation without some wiggle room? Okay, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to lean towards consideration, and we'll see how my colleagues feel about this, but I'm going to open the door to a second chance, but I want to know how you feel about it. Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion.
I would certainly want Mr. Wright, who's listening to this conversation, I would want Mr. Wright to know how very serious this is, and that this can never, ever happen again.
Yes, absolutely. I think that stuff, I know you're going a little long on this one, but I'm going to make the motion, and we'll check the boxes that we think are appropriate. But I'm going to make a motion to continue on community supervision under the same conditions, and of course some amended conditions. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agree. Same conditions, amended conditions, motion by Louis Quinones, seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse, and this is, again, hopefully we can bring this to close very quick, but treatment. He's already involved in his, and he's been adhering to his drug and alcohol tests. And I think, well, are there any other standards that anyone wishes to see checked?
I would ask that, because he's getting a big chance right now. Any violation of his GPS monitoring.
This is the last.
Any violation of his GPS monitoring system, that he be immediately revoked.
Okay, and that's a writing, correct? On the intent. 1 second. Providing an immediate revocation. Necessarily recheck anything. I think is what we're looking at in those conditions. Anything in particular?
Under the same conditions.
Under the same conditions. So again, and that is the motion, and it's been carried unanimously. Mr. Wright, did you hear the final decision?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
We are returning to community supervision under the same conditions and amend condition, but if you thought it was strict before, it's really strict now for the GPS monitoring. You will get it. At the discretion of your parole officer, you will continue with all programming. That's already been established for you. You're already submitting to alcohol and drug testing. But what you note in is immediate revocation for any GPS monitoring violation. Do you think you can live up to this?
Yes, sir. I can. I thank y'all for the next chance. Thank y'all for giving me another chance.
Okay. So we're giving you another chance, and unless there's anything else we need to mention, I'm going to Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Wright, you said that this is a situation that you can rectify and it won't happen again, sir.
No, sir. No, sir.
Listen
to me. I guarantee you.
Mr. Wright.
I guarantee you.
Mr. Wright.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. That monitoring device is, and you're still on a home arrest, you are still in the custody of the Department of Correction. It is extremely important that you charge that device every day for 2 hours, and you time it for 2 hours, and that monitoring device is very strict, that where you go, that monitoring device will tell where you go, that you keep up with that. So this board is really giving you a second chance by giving that. I just want you to understand the seriousness. Because when you let that device go off and no one knows where you're at, that's almost like escaping from prison and no one knows where you're at,
sir.
Do you understand the seriousness of what that is?
Yes, sir, I really do. I thank y'all. I'm going to show y'all that I can keep the charge up 2 hours.
Well, you need to show yourself, sir, because the consequences are going to be very heavy for you.
Yes, okay.
Understand that?
Yes, sir.
All right. So it's just like if you were in prison and they would do a count. And they can't find you, then that's going to be a problem.
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Yes,
all right. I just want to make sure you understand the seriousness of it, sir.
Yes, sir. I do. Thank you.
All right.
I'm getting home by tonight.
Okay, this concludes the hearing. Thank you, Mr. Wright.